That's a very, very small percentage. Approximately about 2 million people came out. And out of them, only two. Let's say that two of the adults, that is. Let's say that plus and minus, let's say a million are some of the smaller children. Then let's minimum, let's take a million adults. Out of a million adults, two make it. Joshua and Caleb. And only the children survived by that time they had grown to the next generation. Why didn't they make it? They had such a good start. They crossed the Red Sea, walked on dry ground. They had tremendous things, seen tremendous works. Because they could not survive the middle part. Here in Haggai chapter 1, it's talking about a group of people who started and could not finish. There are many unfinished sculptures out there in the secular world and in the ministry. There are many ministries that start but can never finish. And there are many times that people use the name of the Lord and say, the Lord asked me to do this. Many times I ask them, if the Lord asks you to do that, make sure you finish it. It's one thing to start, it's another thing to finish. And never start unless you know you can finish. In the same way in a secular world, if we are going to start something, make sure we finish it, even if it costs us a lot along the way. We need to understand this Bible principle. And so Haggai, as he prophesied, he reminded the people. And when people don't want to finish, they always have excuses. And look at here in verse 2, chapter 1 verse 2. This is their excuse. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, and he says, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It was the Lord's time to build a house. And just because it was difficult, they say, it may not be the Lord's will. It may not be the Lord's time. Have you ever met those Christians? Every time there's difficulty, they say, maybe it's not the Lord's will. Maybe it's not the Lord's time. And yet Haggai says, it is not so. It is the Lord's time. And it's, the people have become complacent. And they have excused themselves. Human beings are very clever at doing that. See, for a person to sin because of a conscience, we have to justify ourselves. Every thief or robber or criminal in prison today, if you ask them why they are there, they will have a reason to justify their existence. They'll blame either their parents, they either blame society, they'll blame others, or they'll find a reason. Think about the temptations you and I go through and overcome. Think about the temptations that many people go through. They justify themselves. They give reasons to themselves. They're saying, it's because of this and that, this and that. I think it will be alright. After all, you know, this is quite okay. Always we work with reasons. And we need to understand that there are two types of reasoning in the Bible. There's a reasoning that comes from God. God says, come, let us reason together. But there's a reasoning that comes from the carnal man. And the carnal man reasons based on carnal things. And the Bible in the book of Romans chapter 8 says that the carnal mind is an enmity against God. It doesn't reason the way God wants it. Because it is justifying sin. Every sin can in the end be justified. Every sin can be justified. The sin of fornication, today they are justifying by using a different term. They call it liberal lifestyle. And the Bible calls Sodom and Gomorrah and all those sin, homosexuality, today they call it gay. And they call it the alternative lifestyle. You can see how human beings can justify every sin under the sun. And that's how complacency starts. It starts in our mind. We call it justification. The Bible calls it doubt. The Bible calls it doubt. They doubted God's word. They started building it. The first generation that came back started building it. But there was a stop because people doubted. They could not have the strength to persevere through. There are many, many scriptures that tell people to persevere through. I could give you just a handful. For example, like the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about running the race, finishing the race. We got a cloud of witnesses. And it says, lay down every besetting sin. Because there are things that hold us back. We've got to press on in the race. And then Paul says, I press on to the upward call. And then in the book of Hebrews, he also exhorting them and telling them not to give up, but to endure, press on. Book of Revelation 2 and 3 talks about he that overcome. Talks about all this enduring. In the epistle of Jude, it's written to those who were about to give up and compromise the faith. And Jude, in writing, who was a half-brother of Jesus, writes and tells them not to compromise their faith. Hold fast to the faith that was originally given to us by the apostles. So all this exhortation to hold fast to the good word of God. And it's doubt that arises and causes reasoning. But in verse 3, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to be in ruins? Now notice there were two reasonings coming together. There was a reasoning of the flesh and there was a reasoning of the Lord. The Lord was reasoning with them. The Lord said, look, it's their reasoning is within a circle, let's say it's a circle of two units. Haggai's reasoning is a circle of perhaps, let's say, it's about four units. It's bigger. God's reasoning covered their reasoning. Which is why we mentioned that God is not against the mind or the intellect. Any Christianity or any preacher that tries to run down education and the training of the intellect is not being scriptural. It's just like John Wesley one day came across this man. And John Wesley, if you never read his biography, John Wesley is a man who reads a lot. On horseback, he reads the Bible and he reads regularly many, many different types of things. And he was an educated person. And so one day there was this sincere Christian who came to see John Wesley in his biography, and he says, God don't need your education. God could use you that God don't need your education. And then John Wesley thought for a moment and was thinking, and then he said to this man, he says, well, God did not tell me to tell you this, but I think I should tell you this, that I agree that God doesn't need our education, but he says, God doesn't need your ignorance either. See, sometimes Christianity have sometimes swung to extremes. And whenever Christianity, or sometimes, once in a while, you find, in every move of God, you'll find some extreme. You find sometimes the extreme charismatics who are what I call the Jim Jones syndrome. Jim Jones, you may have heard of that. They don't let the people do the thinking. They will be the prophets who sit on the pedestal, tell people what to do. Say, thou shalt not think. Thou shalt only obey. That's not Christianity. Christianity doesn't produce zombies. Christianity produce free will beings who could think and be rational about their own decision making. Although we are charismatic, we do not advocate people coming to, like, fortune telling. Brother, what did the Lord say today for me to do? Although we understand what seeing visions and the word of the Lord is, but we in leadership in charismatic circles must understand the balance so that we won't fall on the other balance where we are sitting on the pedestal and producing zombies and people will always come,
Oh man of God, I got this business problem. What does God say? And we must understand how to counsel people. If we never hear from the Lord and it's our spirit and our advice, we must say, this is not the Lord, this is my spirit. If it's really the Lord, then even if the Lord says something, we all know that when the Lord says something, it takes a while to understand what He says. And any Tom, Dick, and Harry can try to interpret what He says wrongly. So on one end, they are, and they will continue to be, I'm sorry to say, somehow, in every move of God, through all revivals, they will continue to be. And some of these people are really anointed, but they don't understand that it's God's will to produce a group of strong Christians who can think for themselves, so that when they give submission, it will be an intelligent submission, not a blind submission. Jesus did not ask for blind submission. Jesus asked for rational submission. There is a difference between the two. And that is why God is not so much against our reasoning, He's against our reasoning without God, without taking the factors of God into consideration. Now look at Haggai's reasoning. Throughout this book, he reasons with the people, with God. We better give some scriptures here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. See, there's a reasoning that is not from God, and there's a reasoning that is from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And see that there is a reasoning that is not of God and that doesn't work, because it never consider and believe in God. It doesn't believe in spiritual principles. It doesn't believe in things that are invisible, that are real. If a person comes and says, I don't believe in the Bible, then there is not much room for reasoning. We can only say, well, it's your free choice to believe that way, and it's our free choice to believe in the Bible, and as long as we both seek to live the life as we know best, and to be the full blessing that we can, then each can walk their way. There is a free choice. But we need to recognize that when we... The reason why a natural man cannot reason the way God reasons is because they minus off the spiritual principles. So the natural man cannot understand because they are foolishness to him. When you talk about God, people say, show me God. Things like that. That's what we call foolishness. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Do you notice that? The carnal mind is an enemy, an enmity against God. Romans 8 verse 7. So we have shown how that there is a reasoning that is not of God. But then, the Bible doesn't leave us there. That's the problem with some charismatic. They think, oh, therefore throw away the mind. No, the Bible doesn't leave that. That's not a solution. That's a non-solution. That is stating the problem. Have you ever come across people who state the problem but don't give a solution? We are still in a problem. Now, we realize that knowing the problem is half the solution. But then, being half solved is not solved. And the Bible doesn't state that and leave it as it is. The Bible brings us to this other area here and says there is a higher reasoning. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the same passage again. Paul says here in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Then verse 13, those things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So there is a higher reasoning. Now back to Romans, where verse 7 says that it's the carnal mind is the enmity of God. No, it can be. It doesn't leave us hanging there. It tells us here in the same book, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, in verse 2, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, there is a solution. The solution is let the mind be transformed. Now, are there Bible examples of people continuing in that area? Yes, the book of Acts.